It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Life Transformation Radio. Prepare to engage. Seatbelt activated. Activated. Download initiated. Your quantum journey of transformation begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. Hi, I'm Rob Actis, best-selling author of The Law of Action, voice actor, business mindset coach, the podcast whisperer, and Mr. Action himself. Life Transformation Radio is heard in over 90 countries. Thank you for joining us from all around the world. Whether it's your first time joining us or you've been listening to Life Transformation Radio for some time, I want to personally thank you. Here at Life Transformation Radio, we are committed to share more about real life, love, the power of positivity, romance, and of course, laughter. We care about helping others find their internal drive and purpose. We celebrate life's challenges and overcoming them. Please rate and review Life Transformation Radio on your favorite podcast platform. We would so appreciate it. On the show, my guests are amazing people who are forces for good in the world around them and live a life of transformation. My guest today does just that. Today, my very good friend, Robert Farthing, and I discuss your inner guidance and how to discover your core intentions. If you want to learn to connect to your source of guidance, overcome fear, and shift your perspective so you can navigate through the path of healing and transformation, this is the show for you. Robert Farthing is a content producer, actor, artist, photographer, musician, theme environment creator, teacher, peace advocate, and shamanic practitioner. Robert has worn many hats and embraces transformation like a superpower, and I'm so excited to have him here today. Coming up on 20 years of studies and practices in shamanism, he sees how a shaman acts as a transformer between different points of energy, spirit, to help create power to do the task at hand. Whether for healing or guidance and information, connecting to the source is a key ingredient to success. Robert, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
I just got this big wave of goosebumps that just like came right up through my feet into my head. My whole body just lit up. Rob, it's a real honor and a pleasure to be here, man.
This is so great. So I have known Robert for many years. So if you're not aware, I'm a voice actor. I do many national TV commercials. And Robert is a content producer for an incredible advertising agency here in Arizona. And I have known him on a professional basis as being a talent. And as a voice actor, the key to success in voice acting is you go in, you do your job, and you leave.
That's right.
You could tell the difference between the pros and the amateurs and that because they want to stick around and talk. And you just don't do that because it's expensive. There's a lot of moving parts. They want to get it done. And they don't really care a whole lot of engaging with you.
Yeah, but then when you do create that relationship after a long time, it's okay to stay and talk afterwards and get to know each other a bit, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Robert is just this incredible man. I've always loved his energy. And what's interesting about that is that I don't hug everybody. Well, I do hug everybody. And in that environment, you just don't. But I've always loved giving Robert hugs, hello and goodbye. I've always felt connected to him. And I feel very blessed that Robert, one time we had a conversation and he was sharing with me more of his spiritual side. And I was very humbled to discover that he's a shaman. And he opened this conversation with me. And man, where we went from there was truly remarkable.
Yeah, I want to clarify something there. It's interesting you say he's a shaman, right? Because that's been a real interesting quandary over the years of doing this. If you'd have told me 20 years ago that I was going to be where I'm at today, I would have laughed at you. I would have just like, what are you talking about? I didn't even, you know, shaman was some way off. I had no idea what that was, right? But so over the course of years, as you go into the study of that thing, I don't call myself a shaman. I'm a shamanic practitioner. The determination of whether or not what I'm doing is a shaman for you, then you're the one that makes that determination for yourself. Because there's, I've met so many beautiful souls that are shamans from indigenous cultures and from indigenous places. And I'm like, gosh, I'm a practicer. I'm a learner. I'm a student always.
I can respect that. And my spiritual journey with you was remarkable. And, you know, the safe environment that you created for me was transformational. I didn't even know that that was possible.
We're live in the studio.
I know.
I'm not in a Zoom screen.
No,
anywhere.
I know that, but that's amazing. So that was like, whoa. That was like, okay. The energy, it just got built up. But, you know, and that's what I love about this show is that, you know, I'm not editing that out because it was perfect in its imperfection. And we're letting the universe just guide us in this show.
Absolutely.
So, look, okay, you're a shamanic practitioner, but I'm going to call you a shaman. So what, Robert?
Thank you for the honor, sir.
Absolutely. I'm humbled. So explain where I was. So I was at your house and you said, hey, you want to see something really cool? And I said something really cool. So explain that.
Well,
we were,
you know, at the time I had established my first sacred space studio. Like, so for the years that I've been doing shamanism, you know, shamanism is a lot about ceremony and ritual and drumming, right?
Right.
And over the course of the years, I'd created quite a collection of things, but anytime I was going off to practice, it was more like I was a traveling medicine man, right? With my bag of, here, I've got a drum over my shoulder and a bag of whatever, you know, Palo Santos and sages and all the, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
But finally, I was able to have a studio, and I was in a two-car garage space in a friend's backyard. He was setting it up as the yoga shala, so it was a house that, you know, he owned, and, you know, he didn't want to rent it out. He wanted to create a sacred healing space. And so he was a yoga instructor, Gordon Ogden. So shout out to Gordon Ogden for coming into this. Love you, man. But anyway, Gordon asked, he said, he told me what he was doing, and he said, yeah, I've got this two-car garage space in the back. I don't know what to do with that. And I went there and I saw it, and it was this amazing space, this empty garage with this roof that was all angled and this big column in the middle. It was just like this amazing space. I said, give me a shot. Let me see what I can do in here. Boom. As quick as day, this became the shamanic journey center is what I called it. And at the same time that the space showed up from Gordon, in and around that same period of time, a friend of mine, we were going up to see a concert up in Flagstaff. And so we were going into Flagstaff and he said, hey, we're going to go into this little shop. And he said, don't let me spend any money in here. Every time I come in here, I'm always spending money. And I'm like, okay, don't worry. I got your back. We walk into this store and it's this tiny, tiny little storefront, maybe the size of 2 10x10 bedrooms or something anyway. And it's filled with drums and bells and bowls and chimes from all over the world and flutes and just like, it's a candy store for the sound eclectic. It's just like, oh, you know, you're just drooling.
It's so funny. So you can't see me, but I am just grinning from ear to ear. I don't claim to be a musician in any way, shape or form in my home. I have a few drums and I've been invited to drum circles and you don't have to be good at it, but spirit just kind of lets you just,
yeah.
It's a very spiritual experience when you're in a drum circle. And I was just lit up because, like, I have my singing bowls, and I just, oh, I'm just so excited. I want to know that story.
Yeah, well, you and I could sit and have conversations about, here's 30 minutes talking about drums, and here's 30 minutes talking about rattles. And, you know, there's so many different ways in which shamanic the shamanic path opens up, you know, each one of its own category. But at the same time, so I walk into this storefront,
right,
and it's beautiful, and I'm overwhelmed. And I walk towards the back, and in the very back of the room, there's this instrument called a monochord. And it's this sort of like, you know, five-ish so foot long, sort of like a sleigh bed kind of wooden instrument. And I'm like, what's that? And he goes, well, lay down. So I lay down on top of this thing, and it's got 40 strings on one side of the bed, right? So kind of like a harp or a piano, metal strings. And on the other side is this tongue drum, you know? So it's kind of, and so I lay down in this thing, and he strokes, and he just runs his fingers up the strings of the bed. And the bed vibrates to the stroke of the strings on the side. So you're hearing this sound, and your body is feeling the vibration of the strings in the bed. And I'm prone to instant launch, if you will, into other realities. That's part of shamanism, is this ability to sort of have access to both worlds at the same time. And so I'm pretty good at like, oh, gotta go, flipping a switch now and being able to sort of like shift perspectives into a more broader spiritual lens.
Yeah.
And that's all through meditations and practices of drumming and things like that. But I lay down in this thing, and he strums this thing, and it was like, phew, off I went into this like, what was that? And the odyssey of that experience was then I walked away, and literally, Rob, for like, I would say at least a month or two months at least, every day I would hear that sound and feel that vibration. And this voice in my head was saying, you got to have me. You got to get me.
Wow.
Game changer.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted an enormous amount of money for this thing. He wanted $10,000. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to spend $10,000 on this. So I was really fighting that voice. It was like every day, boom, here's the sound, here's the vibration. And the frequency of that voice, that guiding voice that's saying, you need me, come get me, game changer. And finally, I surrendered to that. It was just like, fine, okay, I got that. I hear you, voice. And there's a frequency of voice that I have learned to listen to. It's like, it can tell you crazy things.
Right.
Here's a $10,000 thing. You're gonna go and do that. And I was like, fine. So finally, I've resisted enough, got up there, met the owner, who I hadn't met before. And I told him about my experience with it. And I said, hey, and he said, well, I have one, it's broken. I'll give it to you for half price. I'm like, perfect. So I pick up this monochord, and it had a crack along the side of the bed, but it still played beautifully.
Right.
I dropped it into this empty garage space, the Shamanic Journey Center, and that started the entire creation of that first sacred space that you visited.
Yeah, it was remarkable. So it was, if I remember correctly, it was a few years ago, it looked like just a building in the backyard of your house.
Yep.
And I'm like, he goes, go and show you something. And then I walked in and I was teleported to this other dimension of experiencing the room, because it wasn't anything that I've ever seen before. And I could feel the energy.
Yeah.
I could smell, I think you had some palmetto in there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, that's about the magic of that space. And what I learned more in the period of time to be able to actually be in a space that you could create. And whenever anybody would come in, I would always say, welcome to this safe and sacred place.
Yeah.
Because we're coming into this place where we're, you know, there's an intention. You're coming here for some kind of sacred work, whether it's just like you, right? You had no idea what you were walking into.
Right.
But you were in an explorer space.
It's absolutely.
Like, and to be able to hold safe space for people is really, really important, because we're talking about things can come where it's like, you're just there. So I like to hold that space and just say, everything here is good. And then the sacred space. Right.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, when people come in, it's just like, welcome to this safe and sacred place for this period of time, this hour or two that we get to say together. If we just say we're in a sacred place, we're in a sacred space, that sort of provides this vessel around creating a more powerful experience when you place it into the sacred.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Yeah. It was truly amazing. Yeah. And I can hear that strum. I still can hear that. Like, I can still feel it, still hear it. It was absolutely amazing. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about today is, you know, people are not in this space of the physical space of the Sound Healing Center. And what I wanted to dive into is how to connect to your source for guidance. People are really living in a lot of fear right now. There's a lot of fear. And I talk a lot about fear in my book, The Law of Action, of overcoming it. And it's really what you think your fear is and the consequence of you not taking the action to move through your fear, I believe, is often far greater than any fear that you currently have. An example of that is, I was in a flying trapeze. I'm very, very afraid of heights. And I went and did this flying trapeze in Scottsdale. And it took me, I broke the record for the whole trapeze school. It was 21 minutes to climb from the bottom to the top. Mm. And they were patient with me, but they were getting really irritated. I was deathly afraid, and
Welcome to your initiation.
Yeah, it was one of the scariest things. And then when I got to the very top, I was expecting a sense of relief. And what I discovered was an even greater fear. So I was working hard to overcome my fear, and then there was another fear followed right behind that fear. Because when you get on the platform, it's like 30 or 40 feet up. I don't know whose idea this is, but it's clear plexiglass. It's only probably 3 or 4 feet, maybe 3 feet wide mm-hmm. by, and you're up there and you're just on this cable and you look down and you can see all the ground below you.
Yeah.
And then you have to lean. And so in order to take off in this flying trapeze, you have to be held, but you have to lean way out and grab that bar. I was having a really difficult time, and people were just like, oh my God. And there was a kid up there that was right up before me. She's like a little 12-year-old girl, and she got up, and I'm just like, amazing. So one of the things that the guy at the trapeze school said, Rob, you got to jump. Because he said, you're not coming back down the ladder. You have to fly. And I'm like,
you needed that push.
Well, here's what he said, and I'll never forget this. He said, here's the bottom line. You need to know this right now. You are not in any more danger than right now. It's as dangerous as it's going to get. Mm. And there's no more fear that you can have than right now. Mm-hmm. So if you can't be in more danger or have more fear, then you need to get there. You need to grab the bar. You need to fly.
Yeah. I had a teacher once, like the very first teacher that introduced me to, you know, he's the one that basically was like, oh, you're a shaman, you know, and he's the one that kind of guided me down that path. It's beautiful.
No, you're a shamanic practitioner.
Well, but he was one. It's like, oh, you're a shaman, right? He was like, you know, basically and he was a Buddhist monk, Buddhist teacher, wasn't practicing at the time. He wasn't in robes or anything like that. But anyway, he'd been ordained in the Soto Zen traditions, and he brought me into the fold a little bit. He said, hey, why don't you hang out for a little bit? Chance encounter, blah, blah, blah. And so in kind of this traditional, non-traditional, modern way of teaching things, basically he would be like, we'd be having a conversation. And anytime he would ever sense that I was resistant or fearful of doing something, he'd be like, aha, that's it. And he'd craft some experience that was about going and conquering that uncomfortable space, unconquering that fear. And because we were in this relationship of a teacher, student, master, apprentice kind of dynamic, you know, he's like, you have free will. I'm going to ask you to do things, and I need you to do those things. You have free will. You can say no. And if you say no, the teaching will be over, right?
Right.
Which has its own little lesson path there.
Exactly.
Right? If you had not jumped, you know, and said no, that part of the lesson would be over, and you're walking into a different direction for a different lesson,
right. All
around fear. Anyway, he sends me off on all these things, and every time I conquered a fear on the other side, there was this elation, this like, oh my God, that was all in my head.
Yeah.
Fear was all this creation in my head of the why and the how that you couldn't do anything or you can't do anything. And it just builds and it 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 builds and it, builds, and it becomes powerful.
Oh, it's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. But it starts as only just an energy.
Right.
It starts as like the action of walking up, the action of saying yes. When you said yes, however many weeks before you actually were up on that platform, the journey starts when you say yes. I'm going to do this thing. That starts your journey to this quest to step out on that thing and leap.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. And the thing is, when you overcome your fear, there's this incredible sense of calm that I've experienced every time. I mean, it's just like, wow. And then I'm able to recall those moments and get through other fears.
Yeah, that's good medicine. See, that's in the shamanic perspective of what that experience does, is it provides you with a significant experience, and it creates, for in my the way I kind of think about it, it's like each of these experiences creates this island that we can go back to anytime.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like if you created that thing, one day when you're feeling a little out of sorts and you need that little... Remember that time you climbed the ladder and you can go back there in your mind, you can go back there in your memory, you can travel back in time to actually visit that place.
Oh, I do.
As the spirit that you are today.
Yeah, it's been empowering, and it's interesting about fear in that the number one fear that most people have is speaking in front of other people, public speaking. The second biggest fear is dying. So people would rather die than speak. No, I think, yeah, it's either one or the other. So it's either the number one or the second, but it's speaking and dying. And people would rather die than speak in front of public. So what I find fascinating is that fear, like if you said, hey, we're going to go rent a Lamborghini Gallardo and we're going to go drive 180 miles an hour. Okay. Hey, we're going to go and go 6 feet on the roof right now and go hang some lights. No, thank you. And so it's interesting how...
Fear is irrational sometimes.
It's irrational, but it's amazing to me because I would say that climbing on a ladder to get on my roof is really a calculated risk and not that dangerous. Getting in a high-performance race car and going 180 miles an hour is far more dangerous than that. And I have no fear whatsoever about that.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
So what are some things that you can do to tap into your source for guidance of overcoming your fear and really embracing that fear to elevate your consciousness to get to where you want to get in your life?
It's a really interesting question, considering that we're sitting here today, right, with a plan B, you know, like in our back pocket. What we're setting up today is for you to come to the new studio, to come to what's happened since the Journey Center when you first visited this tiny little room, right? That room itself now has transformed into a very large studio of amazements and wonders.
It's, wow.
You know, it's like walking into the Wizard of Oz or something like that. But that's where we can explore exactly what you're asking, because what you're asking is a very long, broad conversation. We can go off on all the octopus arms and tangents, right?
Yeah.
But the practice of doing the journey work as that has evolved around the monochord, right?
Right.
That's become a tool with which to help people set an intention, move into this space of vibration and frequency and sound while holding this intention and asking yourself, what is your intention? And you go on the journey with that intention. You never go into this deep meditative vibration of the monochord without having an intention.
Right.
Right. And if your intention is to conquer a fear, if your intention is to understand something that you're afraid of, if your intention is to overcome
I'm getting all fearful because it's so funny because I'm like, what does that mean if I'm going to conquer that fear and face that fear? What will that journey be like?
Well, this is great. We're getting the intention setting out of the way. Rob, look at you. You're scratching your head. You're getting some sweat coming up there.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Yeah, it's very.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
What an interesting physiological reaction to fear is to like the fidgeties and the...
Well,
and the
so I was in radio and you know, you've known me for a long time. So when I'm all in, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And I'm very loyal to what I'm doing. And so I was doing a, working with promotions department and there was a giant balloon on a two or three story warehouse building. And we're sitting at this giant balloon. The wind came and it was going to go over the building. I grabbed the balloon to save the balloon. I went over the building. I was caught by my legs.
Is this a hot air balloon?
No, it was a giant stupid balloon for the radio station. It was just this big like 30-foot balloon or 20-foot balloon.
This big old round balloon caught you up by the foot. Are you hanging upside down?
No, I grabbed it. So it went. I grabbed it. I dove to grab it and didn't think that there was concrete down below, which was two or three stories. I think it was like two-story office building. Jer Rogers grabbed my feet and didn't let me die. So I didn't used to have a fear of heights when I was younger. And so there was actual experience. I know what that feeling was like. And so I wonder if that's it. So when I was getting all nervous and my head was, I'm like, oh, great. I don't really want to live that again because that was really unpleasant. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, that was unpleasant. And I love taking things head on. So to catch people up that are listening is there's this new center and I've been in the original and Robert has invited me to come and experience this incredible environment. And what we're going to do is I'm going to go on a journey. We're going to record it and then we're going to play it and you're going to experience what I experienced right here on Life Transformation Radio.
What we experience. One of the things about doing the exchange,
okay,
right, is this is about Transformer now, right?
Yeah.
In my practices over the years, I've recognized that a shaman is like a Transformer.
Got it. Yeah.
So if you think there's this shamanism is this kind of beautiful mashup of sacred ceremony and ritual, and it's mystical and it's, you know, it's unusual and people in costumes with drums and like very tribal and primitive, right? It's the oldest known form of healing that we know on the planet, right? Is that of the shamans and the medicine people of when we were in caves and such. But there's this beautiful science side to it as well too. That is one of vibration and frequency. And so the new space, right? When I knew that that old space was going to go away, you know? And when I found this new space, I walked into this bigger warehouse. Now I'm in more like an industrial warehouse size space, right? I walked in. I stood in the room. I said, "What are you?" And the room says, "I am Create Space." And so the name of the studio is the Create Space Recording Studios. And it has been transformed over the last two or three years since I've had it. When it was first, it was all about art. It was all about this muse that had taken over that was saying, the form of your expression is to paint, is to draw, is to do this unusual thing. And you know, but over time, as the journeys were sitting off in this other little space, right? And I kept asking, am I over that? Is that, are you stopped? Are we not doing that anymore? Now we're doing this art thing.
Right.
And the bed's like, no. It's standby.
Yeah.
It's time to separate from this a little bit and move around in that creative space, recreating this thing. And so from art, it now moved into, you know, when I found the bed and it was broken, and I said, I got to get this repaired or I'll never be able to play it again. And so I took it to a friend of mine and I said at the time, there's this amazing sound. I said, I want to hear what this instrument is like if it's electric. Can we put a pickup inside of this thing? And so he's like, well, I've never done that. I said, I've never done it either. But as he's a beautiful woodworker, as he's fixing the bed, we figured out how to get a pickup in there and turn it into an electric instrument.
And yours is the first one ever. Like, so, right?
I believe.
Yeah.
Just like the instrument itself is not it's out there. You can find it on the internet. It's exactly there.
Right.
But in all of my research, I've never seen this particular instrument turned into an electric instrument. So what happened was because when you listen without the frequencies and the headphones, I kept hearing this. We'll talk about more of this when you get there.
Okay.
When we do that, we'll talk about that experience of the bed. But it's about vibration.
Love vibration. Right? Oh my God. Yeah. I'm surrounded by music and vibration in my house all the time. I love vibration. I love sound. I have sound in my house all the time. And I have a recording studio next door where I do all my voiceovers, and there's always some sound or vibration. And it can even be faint. Like throughout the day, I play nature sounds. I love that. And I like to feel it. So I have good audio.
So somebody once asked me, they said, we were playing this really interesting game called Hot Seat. We made up this game called Hot Seat. It's really fun. But they asked me the question. He said, what do you have empirical evidence of? And without even thinking, right? That's a pretty deep question.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
What do you have empirical evidence of?
Right.
Okay, what is empirical evidence? That's pretty...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Empirical, done.
Yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
There it is. I have evidence. I have, and without even pausing, it was vibration is everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like through the experiences of learning over the course of the years to do this sacred shamanic kind of journey work around setting intentions and moving through those intentions inside of vibration, that the experience of the Montcorn has taught me that everything is vibration.
Yes.
Right? So there's so many people out here now that are looking for the source, right? Everybody's out in search of like hot yoga for the source or kundalini for the source everybody knows.
Right.
There's this source of something, right?
So the healing
arts for the most part are about connecting to source in whatever ways you do that. From a shamanic perspective, the source, right? So if everything is vibration, okay, boil that down. Go on that journey. If everything is, what is everything? What is it? Right? The journey of just saying everything is vibration takes you right into the core.
Right.
I am flesh and bone Robert here on earth, but down at the core, I'm quarks and invisible things bouncing around that are manifested into... Hi, Robert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Welcome to Earth.
Right.
Welcome to your human experience, you know? And that's part of shamanism is being rooted in the earth, but also having this perspective of non-ordinary reality.
Right? Well, one of the things that I always talk about on every single, my other podcast, Living the Law of Action Show and Life Transformation Radio, and even when I'm on stage, is I always talk about vibration. And raising your vibration. And maybe I don't even know from a spiritual standpoint of that, but I feel that so strong is that.
Well, so here's where that goes, right? It's like when you say everything is vibration, and everybody's off looking for source, the disconnect is that the mind goes, yes, yes, yes. The mind is all about the yes.
Right.
I know it. I want to go there. I know that to be connected to something better is good for me. I want to go there. The disconnect is that the body doesn't understand what that vibration feels like, right? We're in this weird world of weird foods and weird, you know, technology. You know, we're in a funky vibration right now.
Right.
So going into if everything is vibration, then it gets to your core intention.
Right.
Right? Boom, boom, boom. Shamanic journey, every journey, you go into this journey, but you have to have, it's good to have an intention. My intention is to do this thing. And it becomes practice. When I say a shamanic practitioner, every journey is showing me something different. I'm continuing to practice where it's like intention setting, boom, boom, where does it go? Intention setting, boom, boom, where does it go? And that's driven me to say, what is your core intention, Robert? At the core of everything you do in the world, if you can set that core intention in your heart, no matter what happens around you, you have set that intention. And my intention over the course of years is to say peace.
I love that.
At the core of my source, and I always say that when we go into the monochord, no matter what happens inside of the vibration of the journey, you have your intention over here. The sound and the vibration, that the vessel around what we're doing this journey for is merely peace. If nothing else happens, you've walked away from an experience where the intention was first and foremost, peace. And then we layer in the story journeys along the way.
And the most fascinating thing about that of peace is most people haven't felt peace. So that right there is like an e-ticket ride. It's kind of like when you meditate and you finally get to the point where all the noise, especially for people that have ADD, ADHD, and our mind just races and races. And finally, when you meditate, and all of a sudden, it's just quiet.
Well, and exactly, the meditation practice of anything, of when you're saying, oh, I'm going to meditate, and you're holding peace, right? There's lots of different forms of meditation and trance work. The shamanic journey that you come to experience now is a sonic experience. Now that the bed is electric, you're in headphones. Your eyes are covered. You get into this space pod like thing, which is like, Rob, when I heard the intro to your show, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, he's going to come into the two of these experiences sounds are going to be a blast to play with. I look forward to playing with you in that space and creating in that space this experience.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. And what I'm really excited about is to share it with the listeners. I think that's going to be really special. And, you know, I'm being vulnerable and Robert's being vulnerable. We've made a decision to share this. I'm good with that because that's who I am. I want to live my life as clear and authentic as I possibly can because it's just simpler. I don't want friction of trying to remember what I'm telling people, what I'm not telling people. I just want to be Rob. That's it. You know, I'm a grown-ass man now.
Guess what?
Yeah.
You are Rob.
Yes. Yes, I am.
You are Rob.
I know.
Your mind wants to tell you you're not Rob all the time, or what is Rob, or who is Rob, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? At the core, at the source, the form of you is Rob, you know, but...
Exactly. And it's been an incredible journey. I mean, from the point of, you know, in my book, when I talk about where... And I don't even talk about it all the time, but there's been many times where I've almost had life and death situations. I didn't talk about it in the book, but it's come up in another podcast that I was a guest on. I have never even shared it before, but I was in a sniper situation. I was in downtown or San Diego in Mission Beach, and there was gunfire and police. And instead of being a smart person, I went towards it. And I ended up being pulled down by a police officer behind the car, and the car got shot. That was pretty incredible. Now, when I hear anything like that or I see some type of police activity, if they've got it handled, I'm going the other way because I don't want to be in that. But I've had...
And that's, you know, I'm here's where I have to give disclaimers on such things that, you know, I'm not certified anything. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or any form of getting that piece of doing the work to do that. You know, shamanic healing work basically is very alternate. So take what you will, leave the rest at the door.
Absolutely.
But those are the triggers, right? And many people much smarter than I that understand the depths of fear and how the mechanisms of all of that stuff work. We see it every day now in our society, right? We're in fearful times.
Absolutely.
Right? So we're in the vibration of the world being often very fearful, and we're just coming through a huge, massive, dense concentration of distortion and of fear, like the distortion of fear, the distortion of what am I hearing, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, I want to go back to the fact you were talking about being a transformer, and I love that. And I love your disclaimer that you're not, you know, a medical doctor, but the alternative, but what I got from you being a transformer is that spirit, core, the universe is actually connecting, and you're a conduit. I guess you would be a conduit.
You know, you can get into the conversation.
That
said, there are practitioners in the world that do, I'm a conduit, I'm a transformer, I'm a portal.
Right.
You know, it's just it's the embodiment of something, right? And at different times for different people, the shaman becomes the type of transformer that it needs to be to hold space around whatever the work is that's being done. So sometimes I'm a transformer.
Right.
Let's not label anything, but just say transformer. What is a transformer? In the scientific, you know.
It protects. Because what I'm saying, I'm sensing in my mind is that there's this incredible power here is Robert, here is me, I really can't handle all that power. You have this ability to modify and mold the power to hold that safe space for me.
This brings up an interesting thing. In the practice over the years, I've also become very aware of, I don't have any power. Right? This is this idea that has, when I move into that space, to hold space, I'm very clear that Robert does not have any power here, right? Because a transformer doesn't have any power. The transformer is placed in this experience. So,
right.
You know, how long do you want to go? There's a whole... If we can just keep going and then you chop this all up.
How long is this show? It's
like, but that's the realization, the story of getting to the realization of being in the center of something is very nuanced, right? It's let's use the example of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Right? Let's use the vision of the creator and the created.
Got it.
Right? So in indigenous shamanic, I did this vision quest many years ago with a Yaqui Indian shaman. And before that vision quest, I went out to this place where I knew it was going to be. And in fact, it's coming up on an anniversary. So it's beautiful to be able to share this, cut it out, throw it in a different show if it's too long for there. But what I want to say is I went out to this space and, you know, I was looking at this mountain peak. Right, you know how mountain peaks can sculpt themselves into shapes. You see things in mountains
all the time, right?
And so I'm looking up at this peak, and there's this beautiful spire up on top of there, and it, or this mound. And it looked like this giant figure of a Native American man or somebody that had a blanket over them, and you could see very clearly this facial thing, and they were kind of sitting in a position on the top of this mountain. And right before it were these other tiny little spires, as if they were people almost coming up to this. The Vision Quest experience was one of singing your song, like going through this 5D ordeal to get to the mountaintop to sing your song to Creator. That was the Vision Quest. And so you're moving into that experience, that journey, going like, oh, I'm marching to this point where I'm going to stand on this hill and I'm going to sing my song to Creator. What the heck does that mean?
Right.
What song's going to come out there? I have no idea. But I was asking myself the question, it's like, well, if I don't believe in, you know, then you get into the creator and the created.
Right.
Created in that image, right? We are, and I do believe that. It's like, oh, we are created in an image and a vision of the creator, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, well, what if I don't believe in the creator, right? So the agnostic atheist little spirit that I have been at various points in my life was like, you know, if I don't believe in the creator, then you don't exist. Right?
Right.
If that, you know, and I was like, well, what a conundrum.
I know.
If I don't believe in you, then I don't exist. What exists? What exists is the energy between you and that. It's the relationship, right? So if you're not real and I'm not real, what's real? The spirit of the experience that you're creating, the spirit that of the exchange. If we walk in with good intentions to an experience where we're both co-creating the journey,
right?
I'm putting a sound experience around you and you're in there, you know, envisioning and going wherever you're going to go.
I'm so excited.
We come out and it's a co-creation.
I love it.
It's a co-creation.
So this is what's going to happen. This is going to be part one of the Robert Farthing interview. We'll see how many parts it goes because I don't know. This is just so great. I mean, I can't believe like how fast this has gone. Like it's just incredible.
Well, so, before I know you're wrapping it up, but I just want to say, Rob, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Because the storytelling side of the work that's being done and the way the studio is set up to be a recording studio, we've, you know, it's set up to do that. So to have this opportunity to, you know, meet with the podcast whisperer.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, and come experience a place. I can't wait for you to be there with me.
I'm thrilled. I know my experience that I had in the original, and that was truly remarkable that I can, I can still recall that, and I know the sound, and I know the feel. I can actually teleport myself back in time and experience that. That's pretty remarkable, just saying. Yeah. So,
and we'll carry that conversation on once we get there. Once you're there, we can tell those stories too.
I love it. Okay, so if you want to reach Robert, you can reach him on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. It's Peace Pit Traveling Medicine Show. Is that right?
Peace Pit.
Is that right?
Peace Pit.
Is that right?
So funny.
No, is that?
I guess if you look at it's the
What is it?
It's the Peace Pie Traveling Medicine Show.
Oh, I love it. Okay,
the Peace Pit Traveling Medicine Show. You know, I'm just going to leave that one out there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are also not just the Peace Pie Traveling Medicine Show, but we are the Peace Pit Traveling Medicine Show. And that fits so perfectly with the model of what we do.
Okay, good. Well, I watched Beverly Hills 90210 and I remember the Peach Pit. So there you go. That's all
part
I can
of, say. That's the part of me saying I have no power, because sometimes I just say I have no power. I'm just the Wizard of Oz, man. I got lights and I got that. I'm just the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, man. Robert, thank you so much for being here.
This is
so much fun. My God. It's so perfect. So perfect. And thank you so much for your support and taking the time out of your busy and precious day to listen to Life Transformation Radio. We so appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me, along with my very special guest, my good friend, Robert Farthing, to touch your heart, move your soul, and inspire you to live a life of transformation. I'm Rob Actis. Until next time.
This is Life Transformation Radio. Download complete.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.